This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatillil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm 26, 27 min yari Jumada al-akhirah 1445 al-muafiq li 9 min shahri January 2024 نواصل في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل we continue from where we stopped last درس, and I believe today we will be dealing with a new chapter, right, which is about وداع الصاحب ووصيته عند فراقه عند فراقة السفر أو عند فراقة لسفر وغيره والدعاء له وطلب الدعاء وطلب الدعاء منه. So this is a chapter. If you remember, we're still dealing with the adab, the ethics, the manners, akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how a Muslim should live his life until he meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this new chapter will talk about the adab of wada'u sahib, saying farewell to somebody, a friend, or whoever is related to you that is leaving you to somewhere. And wa wasiyyatuhu, and also giving him a wasiyyah, making wasiyyah to him, or he giving the wasiyyah to others. وصيته عند فراقه أو عند فراقة, at the time he is leaving this life, or he is leaving a place to another place. So meaning وصية in general. لفرق غيره, whether this separation is for a journey or something else. As I said, death, because the examples he's going to be given, they are the examples, you know, of somebody making wasiyya عند الفراق, about to die. When he was about to die, he's given the wasiyya. So these are the quotations quoted by Imam al-Nawawi from the Quran. وَالدُّعَى لَهُ, and making dua for that person who is leaving. وَطَلَبُ الدُّعَى مِنْهُ, and asking him also to make dua for you, in the case of the musafir who is going to another place. One of the causes and places of ijaba lid-da'wa is a safar, as we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala an-Nawawi rahimahullah, qala Allah ta'ala, wa wassa biha Ibrahim banihi wa Ya'qub ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-din fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun am kuntum shuhada'a idh hadara Ya'qub al-maut إذ قال لبنيه يا بني ما إذ قال لبنيه ما تعبدون من بعدي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون. So this is a very important topic and reminder also for everyone who has something to write as a wasiyah, to keep it. Because even the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they didn't leave a wasiyyah for their children and the people also who follow them. That's why the first wasiyyah we recorded, wallahu a'lam, through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the wasiyyah of Nuh alayhi salam. The first wasiyyah recorded to us was the wasiyyah of Nuh alayhi salam through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nuh alayhi salam called his children or his son, and he told them, I'm going to give you my wasiyah. I command you to do two things, and I ask you to stay away from two things. The two things he commanded them to do, he said to say, La ilaha illallah. And then he told them the virtue of La ilaha illallah. He says, if you are to have the heavens and the earth in one hand of the scale, and you have La ilaha illallah on the other hand, لا إله إلا الله تقسمه, it will defeat them. Musa alayhi salam, when he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I want you to give me something special that I will remember you with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to say, La ilaha illallah. So Musa said, Ya Allah, kullu ibadika yaqulu hadha. He says, Ya Allah, all of your slaves are saying this. I want something that, you know, only me will get this, or only some special people will get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, that's it, La ilaha illallah. And he told him also the same as the thing that Nuh alayhi salam told his children. The best and the most important statement is La ilaha illallah. It should be the first and it should be the last. Your life has to be governed by La ilaha illallah for you to succeed in this life. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you and to take care of you. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in your life and to preserve you and to preserve your iman and to grant you a very pleasant and comfortable life, take La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an example of a city. Which city is that? That's Makkah. Makkah was built upon Tawheed. And they got everything. They got everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُجُبَى إِلَيْهِ ثَمَرَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رِزْقًا مِّن لَّدُنَّا. They got everything. And the thamara of everything, I mean, you know, every fruit is coming from every place to them. Why did they get this benefit and blessing? Because of the Tawheed. Iwallah, because of the Tawheed. That's why he says, فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. They disbelieve in the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they did not preserve it through the Tawheed. Ibrahim alayhi salam established that place based on Tawheed. Read Surah Ibrahim, the second to the last page of it. Ibrahim told us, you know, the reason why he took his children and put them in Makkah, it was none other than Tawheedullah Azza wa Jalla and the prayers. And that's what kept the place intact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ. People have been snatched around them, but not Makkah. Why was that? Because of the Tawheed, the foundation that Ibrahim laid down in that place. And he wallah, the only thing that can preserve us is the Aqeedah, As-Sahihah. Aqeedah that is not sahiha, that is not correct, which is not rooted from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi will not take us to anywhere except corruption and destruction. Allah says we cannot get the khilafah back to us unless if we do what? He says, يَعْبُدُونَنِ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْءٍ. He promised to grant us the leadership, to take the lead in the way we used to be the leaders, and also to protect us and to protect our religion. He said with one condition, which is to worship me without associating partner with me. Back again to the Aqeedah. That's why when Nuh was about to die, he knew that the most important thing in the life of a Muslim, in the life of human beings actually, is the Aqeedah. That's why he told his son, I'm going to command you with two things. La ilaha illallah. But don't you ever think that he just want him to sit down and say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. We all do. But then we do corruption also sometimes. We do wrong things. Yeah, because we don't apply La ilaha illallah. The real saying and application of La ilaha illallah is to let it be manifested in your life, which means you favor only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than your desires. You live according to what is prescribed for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the first command. Say La ilaha illallah. He told him, you should say La ilaha, preserve La ilaha illallah, apply La ilaha illallah in your life. And then the second one, he says, وَأَمُرُكَ بِسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا صَلَاةُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَبِهَا يُرْزَقُ الْخَلْقِ. He said, and I command you to say Subhanallah, because Subhanallah is the prayer of everything. Subhanallah is the prayer of everything. Meaning, every single thing is saying this Subhanallah. With no exception. No exception. Everyone is Subhanallah. He says, وَأَمُرُكَ بِسُبْحَانَ. Say Subhanallah constantly. And you Allah. This is a source of what? Comfort and peace of mind. It has been tried a lot. You maintain dhikr of Allah correctly, in the correct way, trust me, your heart will be at ease. You will not be depressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and their heart find no way to be tranquil except through the remembrance of Allah, he says, only through the remembrance of Allah, heart can find tranquility. Iwallah. Don't you ever deceive yourself. There is no way for you to get tranquility. No psychologist can help you in this. Trust me, no psychologist can help you in this. As long as you are not in a good relationship with Allah, wallahi, no psychologist can help you. You can consult anyone in this dunya. Because it is here in the heart. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist in the place, that place will be corrupt. What I mean is, if you don't have remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart, that place cannot be at ease at all. So he told him, say subhanallah a lot. He says, فَإِنَّهَا صَلَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Everything is saying subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تُسَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُ. The heavens and the earth and whatever is inside and in between. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cut the story short, he says, وَإِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There is nothing. He says, إِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَيْ مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing in existence except that it is making the tasbih, together with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُ. But you just don't know the way they are doing it. But they do. Everything is doing. Subhanallah. Every single thing is doing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated the story of a prophet who got stung by one of the ants. He was bitten by the ant. فَأَمَرَ بِقَرْيَةِ النَّمْلِ أَنْ تُحْرَقُ. So he commanded somebody to burn the whole colony of the ant. فَأَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him immediately. Yeah, first of all, punishing something, whether a creation, living things, human beings or anything, punishment with fire is wrong. It's haram Islamically. Because of the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Rasulullah Abdullah ibn Abbas heard that Ali ibn Abi Talib, he burned some people. And subhanAllah, if you listen to the story, you will understand why did he burn them. Because those guys, they were led by Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Abdullah ibn Saba al-Yahudi. That guy from the Jew who accepted Islam hypocritically. He wasn't a Muslim, but he became munafiq, showed the Muslim that he is a Muslim. He was the one who put the foundation of many of these sects that are disturbing the Muslims nowadays. Abdullah ibn Saba al-Yahudi was a Jew. So that you will know who you're dealing with. So this man claimed that they love Ahlul Bayt. And Ahlul Bayt, they have a right, they have this. That was the beginning of this idea that is disturbing us up to date. That Ahlul Bayt, they are this, you can only learn from them, you cannot learn from anyone, and also the companions are unfair to them, you know, many things that you know nowadays, which they also add on top of what he says, you know, go beyond that. He reached the time where he claimed, he and his people, his followers, that Ali ibn Abi Talib is Allah. Up to date, there are some people who are holding the same faith. Ali ibn Abi Talib is Allah, they said. Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he heard about that, he asked people to go and bring them. His bodyguard went and brought them. Some of them. Ali ibn Abi Talib asked them, مَا مَقَالَةٌ بَلَغَتْنِي أَنْكُمْ. I heard that you guys are saying this and that I am Allah. They said, yes, anta who? They said, you are the one. So he got mad at them, he burned them with fire. Some of them ran away. They escaped. But Ali ibn Abi Talib burned some of them. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he heard about that, he said, may Allah show mercy and forgive my brother. He's referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, if I were to be in his position, I will never burn them with fire, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا ينبغي أن يعذب بالنار إلا رب النار. Nobody has authority to burn somebody with fire except the creator of the fire. And who is that? Rabbul Alameen. Only. We cannot burn somebody with fire. We have to look for other alternatives. When he deserves to be executed, we look for other alternatives. Not burning with fire. He says, "Wala qataltuhum." I will kill them because they have changed their religion. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man baddala deenahu faqtulu." Whoever changes his religion, kill him. So that prophet, back to that story, he burned the colony of the ants. Subhanallah. This is a very big matter. You might say, these are ants. No, this is Islam. This is a creation of Allah. There is a wisdom behind the creation. You want to take action? You want to take revenge? No problem. You can take revenge against anyone who hurts you. But do according to the crime. Then go beyond the limit. So when he burned them, Allah sent a wahi to him. You see, because of what? And a wahi comes. An angel came to him. He told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you, min ajli an qarasatka namlatun wahida ahraqta ummatan min an-namli aw min al-umam tusabbihu Allah azza wa jal. Just because you got into trouble with one namla, one ant, you burned the whole colony of the ant who were constantly saying subhanallah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tusabbihu lahu samawati sab'a. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, they were constantly saying subhanallah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, halla namlatun wahida. If you think you can't be patient, why can't you just kill one? Only one hit you. You just kill one and that's it. So there is nothing in existence except that they are making tasbih together with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's the only one who deserves this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nuh alayhi salam, he told them, wa amurukum bi subhanallah, fa innaha salatu kulli shay, is a prayer of everything, wa biha yurzaqul khalq. And because of subhanallah, we get our rizq. Allah. He said subhanallah is connected to our rizq. You know the rizq we're getting? It's related to subhanallah. Yeah. And if you look at the nusus of the sharia, you'll find, yes, you know, it is like that. Only somebody who believes in that will get exactly what Nuh alayhi salam was talking about. Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. Allah says, when you depend on somebody who doesn't die. SubhanAllah. If let's say, I depend on somebody. He pays for my school fees, my lunch, my breakfast, my dinner, my life. This person is giving me everything I need. I don't do anything in this life except to relax and do exercise and sleep. He provides everything. Tomorrow, if this person dies, who dies first? I'm dead, not him. Yeah. What does that mean? That means I was dependent on the wrong person. You Allah. That's why when Allah SWT talks about the tawakkul, he says, when you do tawakkul, to depend on somebody, he said, depend on somebody who will never die. And who is that? Rabbul Alamin. And then when he says this, tawakkal ala al-hayyi alladhi la yamut. Depend on somebody who will never die, and that's Allah alone. And then he says, wasabbih bihamdi. You see the connection? The tawakkul, he says, sabbih bihamdi. It's a source of comfort and a source of risk. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. So dhikr of Allah, if you're doing it, insha'Allah, and you do it correctly, it calls you to reflect. And when you reflect, you're going to be standing upright, doing the right thing. That's the purpose, actually. That dhikr that we always do, you know, your heart is not even there, you know, except to come and sing the dhikr. It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. When you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to remember that this is a secret conversation between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must make sure that you focus and you know what you're saying. You mean what you're saying and you know what you're saying. This is the dhikr that benefits you. And you get all the fruit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put under it. So these are the two commands he gave his children, and he told them to stay away from two things. Number one is the shirk billah. It says to stay away from shirk. Number two, to stay away from arrogance, al-kibr. To stay away from al-kibr, arrogance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined arrogance with battur al-haqq wa ghamtu al-nas. They said, Ya Rasulullah, one of us wants his shoes to be neat, his clothes to be neat, you know, and to fix his hair properly, you know. Is that part of the arrogance? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Inna Allah yuhibbu jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves beauty. He said he is jameel and yuhibbul jamal. That means what you're doing is correct as long as you don't do it out of pride and arrogance. But what is arrogance? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-kibru batturul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. He says, arrogance in Islam is the rejection of the truth and disrespecting others. When you are told that this is the truth and you don't want to accept, that's arrogance. Yeah, there are some who don't accept the truth. Why? Because they are mufti. They are sheikh. They are doctors. They are professors. They are ministers. They are kings. There are some people who are like that. They don't accept the truth. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defines as arrogance. Wa ghamtun nas, and disrespecting others. Belittling others. Yeah, which we have nowadays. You know, in this time of ours, we still have some people who think that they're better than anybody else. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alafiyah. So Nuh, wallahu alam, might be the first one who made wasiyah. We believe, inshallah, other prophets also they did. But the one that is recorded to us, it might be the wasiyah of Nuh. Alayhi salam. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reported to us the wasiyah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, Wasa biha Ibrahimu banihi wa Ya'qubu ya baniya inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deena fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Subhanallah. He says, you know, you see the wasiyah of Anbiya? Never witness a wasiyah in the dunya. It's all about akhirah. Yeah, because this is what benefits them. Dunya they can get. They can try whatever they can get, you know. But the most difficult one is the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa wassa biha Ibrahim. That was the wasiyah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What was that? La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Millat Ibrahim, Hanifa. The religion of Ibrahim, which is monotheistic religion that believes in none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the only one who deserves to be worshipped. That's the meaning of a hanifa. Hanifa al-ma'il al-shirk. The one that stays away from shirk in all of its forms. Many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to follow the millah of who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. Which is based on tawheed. Tawheed, tawheed. Everything about what Ibrahim thinks about is tawheed, tawheed, tawheed. That's where he got those position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us. So Ibrahim also made the wasiyah to his children that they should make sure that they preserve La ilaha illallah. So he gave the wasiyah to his children, Banihi wa Yaqub. And Yaqub also, he made the same wasiyah. Ya Baniya. And this is the wasiyah of Ibrahim. Ya Baniya. وصى بها إبراهيم وبنيه ويعقوب يا بني يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين. Sorry, the ayah went out of my brain. إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. He told them, children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this religion for you. Which religion is that? Islam. Because the only religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals is Islam. Yeah, that's why, as I said, the claim that there are heavenly religions, this one is wrong, is false. Allah sent down only one religion, which is Islam. There is no any other religion. Judaism is not a religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. They also know that this is not a religion of Allah. Religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to Musa was Islam. Religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to Isa was Islam, not Christianity. Yeah, there was no time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever gave a prophet other than Islam. Inna ad-din 'inda Allahi al-Islam. The only religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts is what? Is Islam. And this is also what is confirmed by those who have some honesty among the Jews. I heard one of them describing Islam. He says the oldest religion that ever existed on earth is Islam, dated back to the time of Nuh alayhi salam, or even earlier than that. The second one is correct. Dated back to the time of Adam alayhi salam, up to this moment. The Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not change. So he told them, Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Islam to be your religion. And this is also what he told us, right? Waradithu lakum al-Islam deena. Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not let yourself reach death except with Islam. Ya Allah. Ya laha min hayat tayyiba. He said, live in Islam. وَصَّابِهَا إِبْرَهِيمُ. Live according to La ilaha illallah and keep that intact until death. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Don't you ever agree to reach death except with Islam as a believer. This is a success in life. Live life of iman based on la ilaha illallah, preservation of la ilaha illallah, staying away from shirk. Because if you do that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will see you in the masajid praying to Allah. You will be paying the zakat if you have the money to do that. You'll be going for hajj, you'll be fasting, you'll be truthful in your word. You will be ameen. You do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, because this is what la ilaha illallah necessitates. That's why the kuffar in the past, they know what it means. That's why it was very difficult for some of them to accept. Because he knows that his life is going to be governed by la ilaha illallah. We're the one who are deceiving ourselves. You know, we say la ilaha illallah, but we do whatever we want. No, that goes against la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decide for you. Whatever you want to do, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no, it means no. That's what la ilaha illallah means. Whatever you don't want to do, but Allah says do it, it means do it. And you're going to cancel all of your desire, your thought, and go to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Who is like that amongst the Muslims? So that you can understand that how much we're claiming. How much we're claiming, and this claim is not substantiated in any way. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, that's good in the Muslims, but Islam needs more awareness and consciousness and understanding to this word. La ilaha illallah means a total submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you do nothing other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. قَالَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same goes to Yaqub. You are not there, or you were there when Yaqub alayhi salam was talking to his children, also giving them the wasiyah. He called them. Subhanallah. You know, at the last minute he knows that he's going, because usually prophets of Allah, before they die, an angel will come to them and give them a choice. You want to stay or you want to go? You want to stay or you want to go? You know the story of Musa and the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. You know, he also was standing there with Abu Muwayhiba, or one of the companions, you know. And then he told him, just now an angel came to me and he told me that you have two options, either to choose to go or to stay. To stay as a very rich prophet. He said he even came with the keys, you know, keys of the treasure of the earth. That means if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants, he can be the richest prophet. Abu Muwayhiba told him, please choose the second one. He said, Rasulullah, please choose the second one. He said, no, I have chosen the first one, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for me. And subhanallah, right after that, he started getting the fever and the headache. And then he went to the minbar and he told the people, he said, people, inna abdan khayyarahu Allah bayna mata'i dunya wa bayna ma indahu. فَاخْتَارَ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. He says that is a slave that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him two options. Two choices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to choose one. Either to choose the dunya, and whatever dunya is all about, Allah will give. Or to choose what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for him. He said, and that slave chose what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for him. SubhanAllah, Abu Bakr was the only one who spoke. He says, Ya Rasulullah, nafdika bi abaina. He says, Ya Rasulullah, please. It's like he's saying, don't go, Ya Rasulullah. We are willing to put our parent as a sacrifice for you, as a ransom. Not sacrifice for him, but as a ransom for you. Meaning they're willing to give their parent, you know, so that Rasulullah, the parent can go, so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can stay. You know, when a person reaches this, you can understand how much, you know, critical is the situation when somebody can, because you can put yourself in danger, but not your parent. They used to say this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr cried a lot, and he was saying this. So people were wondering, why is he crying? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just telling us a story of somebody who was given a choice, you know, to choose one of them, you know, and that man chose one of them. Why Abu Bakr is crying? Later, they understand what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant. And they realize that, yes, definitely Abu Bakr is the most knowledgeable, the best in terms of understanding among them. Because he understood that this slave that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about is himself. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, choose one, either to come or to die, or to stay. Either to die and go to the best place or to stay. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose to go. So Yaqub alayhi salam talked to his children. He says, Ma ta'abuduna min ba'di. He called them. When he realized that he's about to leave this life, he said, Ma ta'abuduna min ba'di. What are you going to worship after me? I want to know. He wants to be satisfied before he dies. Ya Allah. Any concerns, father, in this moment he will be willing to know that his children will be standing upright, but you have to work for this. You can't neglect your children. You cannot neglect them and then want them to preserve the correct method after you go. It doesn't go like this. If you're not careful, you don't do the right thing, you'll pay the price. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you, you know, responsibility and put it on your shoulder, take care of the people, and you let yourself to leave this life without doing the job which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to do, he says, Jannah is going to be haram upon you. And this is a message to all the parents to take this matter very seriously. Wallahi, it's not a joke. Giving an absolute freedom for the kids to do whatever they want, even if it is haram, is not good for you, it's not good for them. And when you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you pay the price. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's cheating in tarbiyah. And he says, these type of people, if they're not careful, and they don't fix it, they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jannah will be impermissible for them to go in. So give them the freedom that they need to observe the truth. Let them relax at home. But they should know that there is a red line in your house. There is something which cannot be crossed. And these are the boundaries which are set up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give good tarbiyah to your kids to understand that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says has to be respected. And inshallah, if this is who they are, they will be able to do the right thing when you are alive, and when you go, they will maintain the same manhaj. And this is not only good for you when you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense of you have done your responsibility, it's also good for you because whenever they did something good, Allah will put the reward into your account. You know, everyone is going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most likely without finishing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you to do. You need some kind of righteousness that is, you know, going to keep giving you some reward. Children can do the job for you if you give them good tarbiyah. So Yaqub alayhi salam called upon his children and he asked them this question: what are you going to worship after me? What are you going? Please tell me, what are you going to worship at? Now I know what you're worshiping, but after I go, what are you going to worship? قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون. They told him, don't worry, we're going to worship your ilah. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I guess the muadhin is telling us the time is up. بإذن الله تعالى I will continue from this place in the next dars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kathir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. There is a question about somebody who missed an opportunity because of his negligence. Can he just say this is qadr and don't blame himself? No. He was right that it is qadr that he's going to miss it, but the cause of that qadr is his negligence. So he should blame himself, and next time he has to be hardworking and use all the asbab. This is how Allah SWT wants the system to function. We're not dependent on the qadr. Get it? You put effort and then you depend on the qadr. If you are negligent and you lost because of your negligence. Yes, it's qadr of Allah SWT is going to happen, but the cause of that thing to happen is your negligence. And you should be blamed. Otherwise, anyone, even the sinners also, they will say we're committing sin because of qadr. And we do have actually somebody who told Umar, I stole because of qadr. Why do you cut off my hand? Do you get the idea? He told Umar radiallahu anhu, you're cutting off my hand, and don't forget this thing happens to me because of a qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu anhu told him, yes, you're right. We're also going to cut off your hand because of the qadr. Qadr and qadr. He did not tell him you're wrong. Yeah. Otherwise, if we're going to say that, yeah, he shouldn't blame himself because of the qadr, then all the criminals also shouldn't blame themselves. They will say qadr, qadr. And no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to put efforts, and he tells you, stay away from this and do this. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billahi wa la ta'jiz. Be very hardworking in doing that which is beneficial to you. And don't be lazy, he said. He said, ask Allah to support you and don't be lazy. And then somebody will come and be lazy, and when the opportunity is gone, he says, qadr. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi wa sallam. Okay, next. Somebody is asking if he's in the mall, and there are some surah where people go and pray. Is it like a masjid? This is a place which we prepare to pray. In that place, it deserves respect, but it doesn't carry the hukum of the masjid, whereby you have to go at the time when you know that this is the dhuhr time, you have to go and pray exactly at that time. Yeah, because they have different jama'ah, there is no imam ratib, so it doesn't carry the nature of a masjid. Yeah, but it's good if you are in the marketplace, the moment you know that this is a prayer time, train yourself to leave everything and go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody got riba but in dollars and he couldn't withdraw the dollars, he withdraw whatever conversion he can withdraw. The time he is withdrawing, look and check the exchange rate at that time, withdraw that amount and get rid of it. You know, he has to get rid of it without intention, intending to make it charity or hiba. The intention should be getting rid of it, because hiba and charity cannot be done except if you own the money, and that money is not yours. That's why the scholar said you shouldn't intend charity because it's not your money. Allah doesn't want to see it with you, so you get rid of it. Your intention is just, this money cannot stay with me, and now I am getting rid of it. You know. So the next question is about somebody who forgot. He made a mistake in the prayer, and he is supposed to do sujood sahw qabli, and that one also forgotten. May Allah help him, you know. Yeah, we have, you know, a person who forgot something and he's supposed to do the sujood sahw, and the sujood sahw also is forgotten. So what must he do? He does the sujood sahw ba'di, after he finished the prayer, inshallah. It's better for the woman who is menstruating, who is on her menses, the musallayat, can she go and enter the musalla? It's better to avoid it. Although there are some scholars who said this is not the masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to. Inshallah.
And a woman pray with the imam in her home if the masjid is next to her.
She's asking, the masjid is next to the house of a woman and she prays with the imam from her room. No, she shouldn't. There are many scholars who make it as a condition that she has to see the imam, or see the people who are seeing the imam. So be on the safe side. and it doesn't make any difference. Actually, it's better for her to pray at home, unless if there is something beneficial in the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not stop sisters from coming to the masjid when they want to come. But he says, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ, and their house is better for them. He even say it is better for her to pray in her house than praying in his masjid. Yeah, we need to understand this. It's haram for the husband to tell her not to go unless if there is fasad on the way, trying to protect her. He cannot stop her from going. She has a right to go, because this is the masjid, house of Allah. She has a right to go and pray in the masjid. And in the, if there is dars and there is something beneficial, actually it's better for her to come to the masjid and listen to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if there is nothing in the masjid, it's better to pray at home. We're talking about value here. She might pray in the masjid with the jama'ah. And you know, there is even controversy among the scholars. Does she get that 27th benefit or she doesn't? They even argue on this. So something which is doubtful, it's better for her to take the safe side, which is to pray at home if there is nothing beneficial in the masjid. I mean, nothing beneficial that is extra other than the prayer in the masjid, such as durus and khutbah and issues of this nature. The value of the reward she get is bigger than the even getting the 27, you know, more blessings that somebody might be getting. If we say the sisters also are included in that. Do you get the idea? If you want to understand this correctly, two people prayed with tayammum, and then when they have the water, one of them repeated the salah, and the other one did not repeat. When they reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the one who repeated the prayer, he said, you have two rewards. And the one who did not repeat the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, asabta sunnah, you got the sunnah. Who is better? The one who got two rewards, or the one who got one reward but he got the sunnah? Who is better? The one who got the sunnah. So that we're talking about value here, the virtue. So sometimes the reward might be big, but if you just stick to that which was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the value is greater than the one that is bigger if it is not in the way it did. Is that clear, inshallah? Allah grant us good. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.